This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fans Show with me, Kieran Critchlow, between 2 and 3 o'clock this afternoon. Obviously, we'll be focusing on a few different clubs today. Up first, we'll be talking about Bristol City. They've made a very impressive start to the season, won 4 of the last 5 games. They currently sit 4th after their 2-1 win away at struggling Stoke. Their next game is at home against Swansea, who have also made a very impressive start to the season. We'll also talk about Sheffield Wednesday. Their first game under new manager Gary Monk ended in victory away at Huddersfield, who also have a new manager. Their next home game against Fulham on Saturday. We'll also be talking about Blackburn. They won 2-0 at the weekend at home against Millwall. Their next game is up away at Reading. And then to finish the hour, we'll be talking all things Charlton. Things going swimmingly for them. Third on 14 points, but they did suffer their first league defeat of the season. It was a 1-0 loss, disappointingly, at home against Birmingham City last weekend. Their next game is away at Wigan. So any fans of those clubs or any of the other Championship clubs, get in touch with us. Call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in touch with us. Obviously, we'll be continuing to talk about the Champions League this afternoon and also potentially looking ahead to the Europa League, which is in action on Thursday night. Looking at some of the Champions League action tonight, two English clubs in action. Firstly, at 5-6, Tottenham make the trip out to Greece. They're playing away at Olympiacos. The other 5-6 game is Club Brugge versus Galatasaray. Then on to the 8 o'clock games. One English side in action there, Manchester City, as I mentioned, are away at Shakhtar Donetsk. Two pretty massive games to look at in the Champions League. Paris Saint-Germain take on Real Madrid at 8 o'clock and also Atletico Madrid against Juventus. Looking at some of the other games, Bayern Munich host Red Star Belgrade, what you would expect to be an easy victory for the German champions. Dinamo Zagreb are at home to Atalanta. That is the other game in the group with Manchester City and Shakhtar Donetsk. And also the fourth German side, Bayer Leverkusen, are at home against Lokomotiv Moscow. That's a pretty open group, that one, with Brugge and Galatasaray. So plenty to play for in that group as well. Tomorrow night, obviously, in the Europa League, we'll preview that more tomorrow. We have Wolves, Arsenal and Manchester United all in action from an English perspective, and then Celtic and Rangers up in Scotland are also in action tomorrow night. A bit of news from the Manchester United press conference today. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has confirmed that Daniel James has made a very impressive start to life in the Premier League after his move from Swansea. He is injured and will not play in tomorrow night's game against Astana. So that's all to come tomorrow night in the Losers' Cup. Sorry, Europa League tomorrow night. But obviously the Champions League continues tonight. Tottenham and Manchester City looking to get their campaigns off to a good start. So we'll wait and see what happens with that. So that's the Champions League that continues tonight. Tottenham and Manchester City in action, but the two massive games, PSG against Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid against Juventus. We're now obviously going to talk about the Championship and we're going to kick off proceedings with a club that has made a pretty impressive start to the season, and that is Bristol City. And to talk about their start to the season, I'm delighted to say that Stanley Hughes from the One Stream in Bristol podcast joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon, Stanley. As I mentioned, Bristol City, fourth place after 7 games, 14 points. They've won 4 of their last 5, which included that 2-1 win away at struggling Stoke last weekend. You must be pretty pleased with Bristol City's start to the season.
Yeah, naturally. I think most Bristol City fans are. There's sort of been rumours over the last couple of seasons that inside the club, top 6 was the aim. But before this season, Chairman John Lansdowne actually came out and said that the club is aiming for top 2, and if not that, at the very least, a top 6 finish. So I think fans and club alike are all very happy with the way we've started the season.
If we look at that game, obviously, can we read too much into that game? Because Obviously, Stoke are notoriously, they were in the Premier League not that long ago, but they are struggling for any type of confidence. They're bottom of the table after seven games. They haven't won a game. They've lost their last four, just 1 point. Is that a game where, obviously, you'll be delighted that Bristol City won it, but we're not going to be able to learn a huge amount from a game like that?
I think we learned more than we thought we did. You know, like you said, Stoke are bottom. They conceded 17 goals, way more than anyone else. They were actually the better team. Probably for the majority of the first half. They obviously went ahead after 4 minutes. Lee Johnson talked about that we started in a slow manner. We were quite lethargic and we were trying to work out why it was. Notoriously, Bristol City under Lee Johnson have been atrocious coming back off international breaks. It's sort of a weird phenomenon. No one actually knows why. Everyone's trying to look into various reasons. No one's quite sure. They scored after 4 minutes, but then Joe Allen got sent off for a blatant red after 12. Stoke fans were up in arms. There was anger on the forum. They were booing the ref. Nathan Jones was having to go at Josh Brownhill, who was on the receiving end of the tackle. But it turns out Stoke aren't even going to try and get the red card rescinded, so I think they've all realised they're wrong on that one. But for the entirety of the first half, Stoke were actually the better team, weirdly. We made a sub soon after the red card, so we had sort of three strikers on the pitch. But I don't know, I think we learnt a fair bit more than we thought we would.
Looking then at the next game, that's sure to be a game where we are going to learn a huge amount from Bristol City and also the side they're going to come up against, which is a home game against Swansea City, who experienced defeat for the first time last weekend. This is a game where we are going to learn a huge amount about both sides, and if Bristol City can win at home, that's going to send quite a significant statement out.
It is, yes, certainly. Quite a bit of trepidation about this game, to be fair. Swansea, of course, like you said, they've lost their unbeaten record. I don't know what I'm predicting. I don't know what most Bristol City fans are predicting. We haven't played Swansea too many times over recent seasons because they've been in the Prem. Last year, we beat them home and away. We sort of scored after 45 seconds in the away fixture, just as God Save the Queen stopped. And the home fixture, we beat them 2-0 on quite a comfortable day. They're a different proposition, I think. Swansea is an outsider. Last season, they sort of had Ollie McBurney, they had Dan James, two of their main players. Now they appear to be sort of more of a team, which I think sometimes is good for a team coming down from the Premier League. You need to get rid of the big players, the big stars, and sort of become a team bigger than the sum of its parts. I like Salina. I think anyone who watched the Kosovo England game will be impressed by him, and he's sort of done wonders. I remember him scoring that great goal at home to Man City last season. I think this is a real acid test. I agree with you, and this is a chance to learn a lot about this Bristol City team. You know, we lost to Leeds in the opening game. This is the first true test since our new influx of players. So I think, you know, whatever happens on Saturday will be a big benchmark for the rest of the season.
And just finally, then, Stanley, have your views changed on what you expected from Bristol City? As I said, it's been a really impressive start. Bristol City averaging 2 points a game at the moment. They're fourth place, just 2 points off the top two. Have your aims for the season slightly adjusted based on it? Or are you still thinking we've only just gone past the first international break, far too early to be changing any sort of predictions?
Yeah, I haven't quite booked my open top bus store around the streets of Bristol just yet. I think Gary Johnson, next Bristol City manager, said wait till 10 games and then the table will sort of start to form correctly. So I'm at least going to wait till then, and then I'll start telling everyone what I'm going to do when we're in the Prem next season. I think this game is huge. This game really is, but it's the first test with our complete squad. Benika Fobe now, we've got Naj, we've got Masengo. Ashley Williams, who played his debut, of course, against Stoke on Saturday, grew into the game as the game went on, although it wasn't a back two rather than the back three. Antoine Semenya getting more minutes, Samuel Jeju getting his first league goal of the season. I think it's going to... I don't know if my aims have changed since the Stoke game, because it's such a strange game to sort of watch with the red card and the early subs. I think this game could be the game to change my expectations. At the moment, I see us as a top six team, and now the question is where are Swansea? If I see them as a top six team too and we beat them, maybe I'll see us as a top two team, but I'll wait and see until Sunday.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Stanley. That was Stanley Hughes from One Stream and Bristol Podcast. As I said, we're going to continue to look ahead to the Champions League tonight. Obviously, the Champions League returned last night. Not good fortunes for the English sides, with Liverpool and Chelsea both fall into defeat. Will the English sides fare better tonight? Tottenham are away in Greece against Olympiacos, but defending Premier League champions Manchester City are up away against a side that they know pretty well in the form of Shakhtar Donetsk. And I know that a man is out there in Ukraine watching this game, and it is Andy Hampson, PhD. senior journalist for the North West. Good afternoon, Andy. Do you think that familiarity will help Manchester City, or do you think it will just nullify any sort of kind of pre-preparation for this game?
Yeah, hello, Kieran. Yeah, good to speak to you again. I think that familiarity will help City a bit, really. There's a running joke through all the press conferences yesterday about whether City and Pep Guardiola are going to buy apartments or other real estate in Kharkiv, which is quite funny. It came up three or four times in the press conferences. And Guardiola himself has played against Shakhtar Donetsk many times himself. This is actually going to be his 12th game against them, including games with Bayern Munich and Barcelona. So I think that will help City, and I think that they could do with that, really, because it's not been a good few days for the club. Obviously, losing at Norwich wasn't in the script, and the injury to John Stones just as they arrived here was a major blow.
You've preempted the next question then, Andy. Obviously, let's focus on the defence. Before we talk about the fullbacks, let's talk about centre-back. Manchester City left with one senior out-and-out centre-back, and that is Nicolas Otamendi after John Stones' injury added to Aymeric Laporte's injury. Now, I've spoken to a few of my family members who are Manchester City fans. They would love to see Eric Garcia, the young 18-year-old, get a go. Realistically, over these next few weeks, is it likely that Garcia is going to get a go, or is Guardiola going to go with a more proven player, slightly out of position, in the form of someone like Fernandinho or Rodri?
Yeah, it does seem like Fernandinho is going to play. And that's kind of been the talk for a little while now. But during the pre-season tour, when Guardiola was asked repeatedly why he hadn't signed a centre-back, he did keep mentioning, oh, Fernandinho is very good in that position as well. And he has been trained there. So I think Fernandinho is going to play tonight. Eric Garcia is very highly thought of. City would like to bring him through. I don't think we're going to see it tonight, but the Carabao Cup campaign starts next week. I think it's more likely we'll see him then. Another youngster he name checked yesterday, Taylor Harwood-Bellis, who also went out on the pre-season tour. He played quite well. City do have high hopes for him too. I think he may well come in the League Cup as well. But yeah, I think it's probably too soon to see them in the Champions League. I think Fernandinho is an experienced performer. Yes, it's not his specialist position, but he can do an adequate job there. And I think we'll see him there tonight.
I know that Manchester City are obviously looking to win as many trophies as possible. They won a numerous number of trophies last season, and they want to sustain that. But surely with injuries to both Aymeric Laporte and John Stones, and also with Vincent Kompany leaving over the summer, surely this is an opportune time. Maybe not tonight, but an opportune time over these next 5 weeks with John Stones out injured for that period and then Laporte out until the new year. Surely if there was ever an opportunity for City youngsters to get a go, I know Phil Foden's out with a virus tonight, but surely this is the time for Manchester City to try out some of these youngsters that have been talked so highly of, but a lot of them don't really make it.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. I think the time will come soon. Phil Foden has been unfortunate, really, because he is up against a lot of world-class players in his position. It's probably a little bit different now for Eric Garcia and Taylor Harwood-Bellis. There's going to be an opening there for them. Yes, City are a centre-back down after the company leaving, then two players getting injured is very unfortunate. They're going to have to start looking at them soon, and I think they will. I mean, Guardiola does speak highly of the youngsters all the time. We're just waiting for to actually play them. I think the time's coming soon. I think yeah, if not tonight, I think it's certainly in the next few weeks. I think we're going to start seeing them, because the games are going to come thick and fast now with the League Cup and the Champions League and the Premier League.
Looking at then at some of the fullback situations, I said that when Joao Cancelo signed that I thought he'd displace Kyle Walker quite quickly. Benjamin Mendy looks like he might be returning to fitness on the other side at left back. Do you think tonight that we might see a complete change? Zinchenko and Walker were two of that whole back four that played atrociously at Saturday at Norwich. Do you think that we might see a complete change in the fullbacks with Cancelo coming in at right back and Mendy coming in at left back?
Interesting. Yeah, we're really not sure where Benjamin Mendy is with his fitness. He's been training with the team now for a few weeks now. It does seem like he's getting close. Not quite sure if he's quite match fit. I guess we'll soon see. There's a lot of attention on Zinchenko, actually, being back in Ukraine. He was put up at the press conference yesterday. All the local journalists wanted to speak to him. There are a lot of questions directed to Guardiola about Zinchenko as well. So I think Zinchenko is probably going to play tonight, to be honest. I think Mendy will come soon. As for the right-back situation, yeah, Cancelo, very highly thought of. Was talked up a lot when we've seen very little of him yet. I think possibly tonight could be a chance for him, because he's changes are going to have to be made soon because the players are going to need to be rested and rotated. And I think, yeah, this one would be a good opportunity to maybe give him a go.
And just finally, then, Andy, looking ahead to tonight's game, obviously City are looking to bounce back after that defeat at Carrow Road on Saturday. I think City will absolutely cruise this group. I think they'll probably get quite close to 18 points. But this is probably the trickiest task for City in this group. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah, and I think after what's happened in the last few days with the Norwich defeat and the Stones injury, this is suddenly starting to look a bit of a tricky game, really, tonight. I think it's a relatively easy group. Yeah, they won't have too much trouble over the course of it. But yeah, this is a potentially difficult one, this tonight. I expect City probably will win, but you never know. It could be a tight game, this one. It could easily be a draw, or Shakhtar could easily win. City swatted Shakhtar aside twice last season. I don't think it'll be quite like that this time. I think it's going to be a difficult game.
Thank you very much, then, for joining us, Andy. I know we've had some technical problems, but finally we've got you on. So thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Andy. That was Andy Hampson, PA journalist for the Northwest, who is out there in Ukraine at the moment ahead of Manchester City's game away at Shakhtar Donetsk tonight in the Champions League. We're going to be switching back, obviously, to the Championship. And up next, we're going to be talking all things Sheffield Wednesday. Love Sport. This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Then it will be Posh Boys on Drive. Johnny Burrow will be joined by Ewan Thomas. And make sure you stay tuned here on Love Sport between 3 and 7 o'clock this afternoon. We're going to be switching our attention to all things Sheffield Wednesday now. And I'm delighted to say that to chat about Wednesday, it is James Marriott from Sheffield Wednesday podcaster, should I say. Good afternoon, James. Obviously, Gary Monk's first game in charge ended in pretty good fashion. A 2-0 win away at Huddersfield, who also have a new manager. The exact start that Gary Monk, and I'm sure your fellow fans were exactly after on Sunday.
Absolutely. It was kind of a strange game going into it, because coming off the back of an international break, two teams with a new manager, it kind of felt like first day of the season, and we had no idea really what to expect from either team. We didn't know kind of what formation either team would play, or how they'd line up. So 2-0 away at Huddersfield, particularly when they've just appointed a new manager, you're going to take that result.
Looking at some of the comments that Gary Monk made after the game, he said, "I don't know what's gone before, but maybe the squad haven't had enough belief to produce the quality we all know they have." Do you share that sentiment that the quality is there within the Sheffield Wednesday squad? It is just a matter of confidence that once, and that might be why Sheffield Wednesday, obviously they were forced into the new manager, but why they were so keen to get maybe an experienced Championship manager, that all it needed was a new voice and a bit of confidence to come in to get this squad reinvigorated.
Possibly so. I don't think there's any doubt that the squad has enough quality in it. And we've seen before how this pretty much the same group of players as we have now, with kind of one or two alterations, has achieved and has also underachieved in the past. So, you know, last season was really a tale of two halves, in terms of half the season where we really struggled. Steve Bruce comes in and, using the same group of players, very little kind of change from the personnel side, was able to get a lot more out of them. So there's something in that, and it'll probably take Gary Monk a little while to figure out exactly what it is, because we've almost seen it in kind of miniature version this season already, whereby we won the first two games of the season, and you know, things looked really good and really positive with Lee Bullen as caretaker, and then things kind of turned quite quickly, and we saw the same group of players really underachieving, and at times individual players just not pulling their weight. So it's a bit of a complicated equation as to how to get the best out of this team. Gary Monk did it on Sunday, and hopefully he can figure out, you know, how to do that with some longevity.
One of the stats that stands out, James, from the weekend's win was the fact that Sheffield Wednesday only had 38 possession in the game. Now, obviously, Wednesday were away from home against Huddersfield, but then they had 13 shots. So to me, it looks like Sheffield Wednesday are willing to sit back and look to play on the counter-attack. And when they do create chances.
Yeah, that seemed to be what was on show on Sunday. It was I think there's been a bit of debate actually about exactly kind of how we lined up in terms of formation. It looked like a 4-4-2. We used Adam Reach, who's more traditionally a wide player or has played central midfield, but not really played as almost like a striker or a false striker, if you like. It's not a position that he's played before. So I think it's going to take a while for us to get a real feel for what Gary Monk wants to do with this team. Some of the players were away on international duty, so he's maybe not had chance to really kind of get to grips with exactly what he's got and what the best way of getting the best out of this team is. And I suspect that Gary Monk will want to have a few different ways that this team can play. One of my biggest complaints this season is that when plan A hasn't been working, we've been lacking in terms of having an effective plan B or plan C that we can fall back onto. And I'm sure that Gary Monk will kind of, have a similar sort of thing in mind, where he's going to want to, find ways to win games with this group of players.
At this moment in time, then, Sheffield Wednesday currently sit ninth with 12 points. That, despite the fact that for the first, six games of the season, Sheffield Wednesday had a caretaker manager and Gary Monk has only just come in, that things must be looking pretty bright. That Monk has come in, you're expecting that bounce, and it started on Sunday. That Sheffield Wednesday just 1 point off the top six. So that just shows how well they've transitioned from Steve Bruce, who left over the summer, to a caretaker manager, and now to Gary Monk. And you would expect Sheffield Wednesday perhaps to be much lower than where they are, but they're ninth, only 1 point off that playoffs, those playoff spots.
Yeah, I mean, I drive my friends mad because I have a kind of a rule that there's no point looking at the league table until Christmas. I think the situation for us is that the season's had no momentum and things actually kind of went backwards when Lee Bullen was caretaker manager. We started strongly, performances tailed off a bit, and it got to a point where it became apparent this is not going to work. So we're kind of starting from scratch again. So the good thing is, we've got some points in the bag this season. It doesn't feel like kind of a season where we're going to be looking over our shoulders. And actually, it might be a season when we might surprise a few people. At the moment, it's been real kind of middle of the table sort of form. We've been winning games and losing games in pretty much equal measures. Gary Monk has got an opportunity to kind of grab this now and lead us through. There's another four games to go until the next international break. And if we can get a few more wins under the belt, it starts to feel like the kind of season where maybe this could go somewhere. I guess only time's going to tell on that front. But he can't do any more than get 3 points in his first game.
If we look ahead before we touch on Saturday's game at home against Fulham in the EFL Cup third round next week, it's a home game against Everton. Do you think Sheffield Wednesday will be eyeing a little cup run this season, or is it all about making sure that their league form is top notch?
I think you get a different answer to that question if you asked different fans. I'm a firm believer that the cups are great, but you don't risk your first choice starting 11 in games like that. And we've been bitten in the past where we've had good cup runs, but ultimately we've paid the price in the league because players have picked up injuries, and we've had an awful injury record for the last two and a half years. So I think that we can go into that game knowing that there's no pressure on us, and I'd want us to see us give some of our younger players a bit of a run out, and perhaps some of the first team players that aren't as injury prone or haven't been as injury prone over the last few years. I don't think it's a priority. I think it's a bonus if we go out and we give Everton a game and go through to the next round of the cup. All that really matters for us this season is making sure that we've got as many fit and healthy players for the league as possible, in my mind anyway.
And just finally, then, James, up next it is Fulham on Saturday afternoon. Obviously, Fulham are in and around, actually. Sheffield Wednesday have overtaken Fulham, and they're one of the sides that are being hotly tipped to get back into the Premier League. Are we going to learn a huge amount about Sheffield Wednesday against a good side like Fulham on Saturday?
If there were any question marks for me at the end of the game on Sunday, it was about our defence, which it probably seems really unfair because they kept a clean sheet and actually there were some good performances. But I've got concerns about when Tom Lees, who's our captain, is out, about the communication and the leadership. Now, Fulham are going to present a real test to us defensively, and I'm sure we'll learn a lot
about our back four and about the team as a whole and how we can defend as a whole and how we turn defence into attack as a whole on Saturday. They have players in their team that, that are going to scare any fan of any other Championship club. So I think we probably will learn quite a bit about Wednesday on Saturday. It would be amazing for us to get 3 points from, and I think if that was to happen, then you know, you start just a little smile will start to emerge on the face of many Wednesday fans when you know we look at you know where this season might go. I think it's going to be the biggest test that we've had so far in the season. So we'll have to wait and see.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, James. That was James Marrett, a Sheffield Wednesday podcaster, talking about Gary Monk's first game in charge, which is that win against Huddersfield on Sunday, and looking ahead to their game at home against Fulham on the weekend. If you want to get in touch with us, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. Up next, we'll be talking all things Blackburn.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Then it'll be Posh Boys on Drive. Johnny Burrow will be joined by Ewan Thomas. So make sure you stay tuned here on Love Sport between 3 and 7. If you want to get in contact with us, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. We want to hear from you this afternoon. We're going to be talking all things Blackburn now. And to join us to talk about that, I'm delighted to say that we're joined by Matt Holden, Blackburn fan and host of the 1985 podcast. Good afternoon, Matt. On the weekend, it was a pretty good result. A 2-0 win at home against Millwall. A pretty decent result for Rovers.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on again. It was a great win. It was good to get back to winning ways with that win against Millwall, and obviously it just got us back on track as part of kind of the recovery just before the international break with the defeat against West Brom.
Looking at one of the goal scorers on the weekend, Bradley Dack, are you surprised, without wanting to sound a little bit disrespectful to Blackburn, are you surprised that maybe a Premier League club didn't come in for him? Because he's a player that many people have been talking about for a few years now and is quite clearly a player full of quality.
I honestly think that Bradley's perhaps got another year, perhaps another half or another year at Championship level. Not forgetting that, you know, we did sign him as a League One player, and he did kind of set the league alight when we got promoted a couple of seasons ago now. So I'm not surprised that a Premier League club hasn't taken a punt on Bradley just yet. I think he probably just needs another full season in the Championship. You know, who knows? He could spark. You know, he's now scored a couple of goals now, and who knows, he might be going to the Premier League with Blackburn Rovers. We hope that will be the case, but hopefully he can fire us to another promotion. But I just hope that's going to be the case, really, that he's going to be able to play in the Premier League and in the blue and white of Blackburn.
We were talking earlier a little bit about Manchester City and some of their youngsters, and one man that Blackburn have got on loan this season from Manchester City, young defender, is Toyson Adarabioyo. What have you made? I mean, quite difficult for many to say. Hopefully, I got it as accurate as possible. What have you made of his starts to life on loan at Blackburn?
Yeah, he's. First of all, I'm glad that you said that, because I still struggle every now and again. But yeah, he's had a bit of a stop and start start. With us, to be honest, because he's been in and out of the squad through injury. You know, he's picked up little niggles and like that. But I think we'd start him in the game against West Brom. So you know, he's I know he's very highly rated. He was with West Brom last season, and I remember we played against West Brom, and he was in the centre of defence, and he was, you know, he's a mammoth. He's what, 6'6", something along those lines. So he is quite a tall guy, and hopefully, you know, he can keep fit and start challenging, because we've ever since Charlie Mulgrew left, who was kind of like our rock at the back as such, and he went a bit off form. We've now kind of homed in on the central defensive partnership of Daryl Lenihan and Derek Williams. So, he's got to be obviously just be pushing them two to perhaps, you know, nick their spot or wait for suspensions or perhaps a niggling injury to one of those two to possibly get a spot. I know Man City are quite adamant that he does play a certain proportion of the games to make it, you know, worthwhile him coming on loan. I think that was perhaps one of the mandates of him coming to Blackburn in the first place. So it should be really interesting. But the lad's got to knuckle down and he's got to, you know, prove his worth to Tony Mowbray and hopefully get some starting spots.
One of the things that strikes me, Matt, about the Blackburn squad is how there's quite a lot of experience in there. You look at players like Bradley Johnson, Stuart Downing, Danny Graham. Mm-hmm. These are vastly experienced championship players as well as players mm-hmm. with quite a lot of Premier League experience. Are those mm-hmm. the type of players that Tony Mowbray is going to lean on this season in wherever Blackburn end up?
Well, I think he has to. I think we've got starting to get a good blend of both experience and youth in the squad. And as you mentioned there, it's good to have that experience of, you know, Stuart Downing, Bradley Johnson and Danny Graham, who have played at the, you know, the top level. Stuart Downing, of course, has played for Liverpool, he's played for Bury, played for Villa. So it's certainly, you know, a good omen, you know, good omen to kind of have those experienced players in the squad. And for those kind of younger players who are, you know, thinking of playing in the Premier League one day, again, hopefully with Rovers, to kind of lean on those players to kind of help them get to the next level.
And just finally, then Matt, the next game for Blackburn is away at Reading on the weekend. What are your views ahead of that one?
Well, I'm quietly confident now. I think we've tended to kind of struggle away in recent seasons, but I think, you know, with improving our performances lately, you know, getting some results and getting some points on the board, I thought we could have done better at Hull the other week. You know, that was kind of like a very improved performance. We stopped Hull from creating anything, and hopefully we can go to Reading and do the same. I'm probably hoping for like a 2-1 victory for Rovers.
Thank you very much then for joining us this afternoon, Matt. That was Matt Holden, a Blackburn fan and host of the 1985 podcast, talking about Blackburn's 2-0 win at home against Millwall last weekend. And as I said, up next for Blackburn, it is a trip to the Medeski Stadium to take on Reading on the weekend. So that was all things Blackburn. If you want to get in touch with us, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in touch with us this afternoon. Looking at some of the big stories currently around the world of football at the moment. Obviously, two English sides didn't fare so well yesterday in the Champions League, Liverpool and Chelsea both losing. Two more English clubs are back in action tonight. Tottenham are away in Greece against Olympiakos. That's a 5-6 kickoff UK time. And also Manchester City are over in Ukraine to take on a side they know particularly well, Shakhtar Donetsk. That's an 8:00 kickoff in the Champions League. PSG play Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid play Juventus. As I said, if you want to get in touch, just call us on 0208 70 20 558. And one man that has done that this afternoon is Mitchell, the Leeds United season ticket holder. Good afternoon, Mitchell. What are your views on Leeds starts the season currently top of the table?
Yeah, obviously. First of all, hello. You all right, mate?
Yeah, good. Thank you, Mitchell.
Second of all, very happy. You know, I've got to be at the same time. We're top of the league, but in my opinion, I think we should be better off than what we actually are. I think we're 5 points off where I think we should be still. And as daft as that sounds, people are probably listening thinking, you know, I'm very ungrateful, but we are missing a lot of chances, and I'm still very worried about this home form. Obviously, away at Barnsley, difficult place to go, trying to cause a bit of an upset for us because as it's the Yorkshire derby, we'll want us to, you know, not go up this year. Well, let's be honest, we're their biggest rivals, so they wanted to put a performance on, and for their fans, with it being such a mediocre start, shall we say, for Barnsley. To be quite honest with you, I thought they played fantastic up to points at Barnsley. You know, a few promising players that I saw. I thought Wilkes run Liam Cooper ragged at times. worrying actually, because I thought when he ran, I thought he was going to go off the pitch at one point, because it was his running ability is fantastic, and he certainly could have scored or at least squared it. So in that sense, it's definitely a great win. But at the same time, I'm looking at players like Jack Harrison, who for me I haven't seen enough improvement from him. You know, he's putting all these things on Instagram and Facebook, you know, of him working hard, which is all well and good, but if you can't do it on the stage where it's massively important to do it, then it kind of crumbles a bit, and you know, you let yourself down, because that's when it matters. But for me, Marcelo needs to start in Ketcher and Costa, because the two influential players who from the start, you know, we need to be having, because at the same time as starting Harrison and Bamford, they're just not good enough, I'm afraid to say. I don't want to say that about any Leeds United player, because I think you know as well as me, I want every player who plays for Leeds United to succeed in that famous white jersey. But at the same time, they're not bringing enough to the table. Bamford, I still see him as a last season player. I know his goal ratio's good, but at the same time, you have to compare the misses to actually goals, and you'll find quite a big difference. Whereas with Nketiah, he gets one chance and it's away. And that's your Premier League compared to your Championship and League One.
And just finally, Mitchell, I believe you've got some views on Gary Monk, who's gone in at Sheffield Wednesday. I believe you were quite a fan of his when he was at Leeds.
Yeah, I'm a massive fan of Gary, to be quite honest with you. And I was devastated when he left. I knew once he left, there were going to be complete turn and changes. And I was not happy one bit. But at the same time, obviously, the club will have their views on what happened, and Gary will have his views. But now, before we go into all of that, I just want to say he's an absolute great manager. He's not done anything domestic for probably what a CV he's looking for to grant him that demeanour. But at the same time, he's gone into a lot of clubs that have had a lot of disturbance and, you know, things going off behind the scenes, where Gary's gone in with his backroom team, because at the same time as Gary, his backroom team have backed him up massively, including James Beattie, Pep Clatet, and you know, all the rest of them, and they've gone in to Wednesday, and I think they'll do a good job, because if you look at Leeds, under Massimo Cellino, who was sacked, I've lost count of how many managers at previous clubs and at Leeds. You know, it was looking a bit unsteady at first, but he brought everyone together. He made Elland Road a fortress again. He did the same at Birmingham City, I believe. Middlesbrough, not so much, but at the same time, I think he's got them qualities to, you know, turn bad teams into, you know, a contender for playoffs, which I think he'll do at Sheffield Wednesday.
Thank you very much.
Only if he gets that backroom team from Birmingham City for me, because that's how influential they are. Because if you remember, Che Adams and Chris Wood, they only got going under Beattie for me, because Gary doesn't concentrate on the attack. His focus is on that defence and sorting that out. Whereas if you've got Beattie, he can get someone like Stephen Fletcher going, or, you know, some sort of firepower and kind of energise into that strike force. Thank you ever so much for having me anyway.
Thank you very much for calling, Mitchell, and I hope you continue enjoying the show. That was Mitchell, the Leeds United season ticket holder, giving his views on not just Leeds United, but a former manager there is very complimentary of Gary Monk, who's in at Sheffield Wednesday. If you want to get your views heard like Mitchell, call us here on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Lovesport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so we want to hear from you, the fans out there. And as I said, Mitchell giving his views on Leeds United. Any fan of any other Championship club out there, make sure you get in touch with us here at Lovesport Radio. Up next, we'll be turning our attention to all things Charlton.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get in touch, just call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Lovesport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in touch with us, and we want to hear your opinions here on Love Sport. Up next here on Love Sport, it will be Posh Boys on Drive. Johnny Burrow will be joined by Ewan Thomas between 3 and 7 o'clock, so make sure you don't go anywhere here on Love Sport Radio throughout this afternoon. As I mentioned a few moments ago, we're going to be talking about Charlton, and to talk all things Charlton, we can talk to Martin Adkins from the SE7 podcast. Good afternoon, Martin. Things were going quite swimmingly and they're still looking pretty good for Charlton, but a bit of a blow, 1-0 loss at home against Birmingham last weekend. That would have perhaps come out of the blue a little bit.
Yeah, even afternoon, Kieran, anyway. Sorry about that. it was a bit of a bolt out of the blue. We was all very confident. You know, we've been unbeaten at home at the Valley since October 2018. So we was all very bullish, myself included, on our Love Sports show on Thursday. So yeah, it came as a bit of a blow, but you know, we'll go again. We'll regroup and carry on.
At the beginning of the season, Martin, if you'd have been given 14 points in the first seven games, I'm sure you'd have been delighted. Would have even the most optimistic of Charlton fans have predicted that Lee Bowyer, under the constraints that he's under Roland de Châtelet, could have led Charlton to this sort of start, having been promoted into the Championship?
No, I don't think there's a Charlton fan out there. I mean, myself, I've been quite bullish about our chances into going into the Championship, but you know, never expected that many points at the start of the season. So we've got to be happy with our start, you know, and this little blip that's just happened.
Looking at that game then against Birmingham, you look at the statistics, and Charlton had a lot of the possession. Was it one of those days where, on another day, it could have very easily turned out very differently had Charlton taken advantage of it, and so there isn't that much to be concerned about? Whereas, obviously, if Birmingham had dominated the game, had a lot of possession, and Charlton been outplayed, then that would have been one of those where sort of alarm bells are ringing.
Yes, spot on, Kieran. I mean, it was a point in the game where, you know, I was looking at my friends during the game and I was saying, look, we're creating chances here. You know, their keeper pulled off two or three decent saves. If you're not creating chances, if you're not making their keeper make a save, then that's when you've got to worry. But we was creating chances. We still had decent amount of possession. So it was just one of those days.
It was obviously quite an ill-tempered game. There were four bookings on the pitch, and also Charlton boss Lee Bowyer was red-carded. He was not particularly happy with some of the time-wasting tactics from Birmingham. Were you aware of this? Did you think that it was quite clear from a pretty early point that Birmingham were doing this? And what's your view on time-wasting? Because I know people say when it's for you, you're absolutely for time-wasting, and when it goes against you, it's one of the most infuriating things you've ever seen.
You hit the nail on the head, Kieran. When you're doing it, you love it. When it's against you, you hate it. It's just a game, isn't it? I can't even say it's modern day football. It's been going on for years. You know, it's just one of those things. It's down, you know, you just hope that the referee will keep a grip on it. He sort of maybe lost a little bit of a grip of it, and then obviously sent off Bowyer. There was a few tackles flying here or there, but I didn't think it was that bad a game, to be honest, really, like that bad tempered.
Looking at the team that played for Charlton on the weekend, there was no Lyle Taylor in that starting 11. How important is he going to be, and how big a ploy was he not to have him involved on Saturday?
Well, he's our talisman, and he's been our top scorer last season. You know, without him, we do look a little bit toothless, not too bad. Hamed came in. You could see he's a little bit rusty, still probably not up there with the fitness side of things. So yeah, it's going to be a blow losing Taylor. Not sure how long he's out for, but I'm pretty confident that with the squad we've got to cope without him.
What have you made, Martin, some of the younger loan signings that Charlton have made? I'm looking in particular at the two West Brom lads, Sam Field and Jonathan Lecco, who have a handful of Premier League appearances between them. How have you made of their transition into this Charlton side?
Yeah, they're doing well. Lecco's he's got a lot of pace. He really goes forward with some vigour, and hopefully he just needs to be a little bit more composed in front of goal, maybe. But then he is only young. He's 21, 22. Same with Sam Field. He's a decent little player in midfield. You know, and of course we've got Conor Gallagher from Chelsea as well, and he's been a revelation. He's fantastic.
And just finally then, Martin, looking ahead to Charlton's next game, it's away at Wigan. Are you confident that Charlton will get back to winning ways, considering they are third on 14 points? They were unbeaten before Saturday. So are you looking at it thinking this is a game where Charlton can get back to winning ways?
I don't see why not. I mean, I'm actually going up to the game myself, so hopefully we will win while we're up there. Wigan have got a decent record at home, so it's going to be a tough game. I think a lot of us will take a point up there, but you know, I think we can maybe go up there and nick a win as well.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks,
Martin.
Kieran.
That was Martin Adkins from the SE7 podcast here on Love Sport. So good to get his views on Charlton. As I said, Lee Bowyer was in fact sent off. We're seeing it more and more now, or being implemented a little bit more, of managers being sent off than in the Premier League. You've got that yellow card and red card system, and maybe we are seeing that a little bit more. Lee Bowyer, we're not particularly happy with some of the time-wasting tactics of the way, or the time which it takes to get the ball back on the field after the ball has gone out of play. So not happy. Obviously, Charlton back in action on the weekend away at Wigan. And as Martin mentioned, you can catch the Charlton Fan Show here on Love Sport every Thursday evening between 9 and 10 o'clock with the SE7 podcast. So make sure any Charlton fans out there that you tune in to the Charlton Fan Show every Thursday between 9 and 10 o'clock in the evening. We're coming towards the end, obviously, of the Championship Fan Show. Just a reminder of some of the big games tonight in the Champions League. Obviously, it returned last night. Not such a good start for defending European champions Liverpool or Frank Lampard's Chelsea. Last night, they both fell to defeats to Napoli and Valencia, respectively. But the English sides are in action tonight in Greece at 5 to 6 UK time. Tottenham have a tricky task away at Olympiacos, maybe more so in terms of the atmosphere than actually the quality of the opposition Tottenham are coming up against. And for Manchester City, it's a place where they know particularly well, having gone there three of the last 4 years, Shakhtar Donetsk away. That is an 8 o'clock kickoff UK time, but most of Europe and probably the world's eyes tonight will be on two massive contests in the Champions League. Firstly, in France's capital at the Parc des Princes, it is Paris Saint-Germain against Real Madrid. That's also an 8 o'clock kickoff UK time. In Madrid, it'll be Atletico Madrid against Juventus, also an 8 o'clock kickoff. Looking at some of the other games, another 5 to 6 kickoff is Club Brugge versus Galatasaray, and then a few other 8 o'clock kickoffs: Bayern Munich against Red Star Belgrade. That's the other two teams in Tottenham's group. Dinamo Zagreb against Atalanta. Atalanta's first ever Champions League game tonight. So a big moment for all of those Atalanta fans as they make the trip to Zagreb. That is also obviously the other game in the Manchester City group. And then Bayer Leverkusen against Lokomotiv Moscow. That is at 8 o'clock. And also some news from some of the Europa League press conferences. Three English sides in action tomorrow night: Wolves, Manchester United and Arsenal. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has confirmed today that Daniel James is not fit for that game against Astana tomorrow night. But he did confirm that the likes of Sergio Romero, Axel Tuanzebe and Mason Greenwood will all start. So Manchester United fans will get a glimpse of Mason Greenwood from the start, as well as Axel Tuanzebe. Some of Manchester United's youngsters getting an opportunity in the Europa League tomorrow night. That's it for me from the Championship Fan Show.
This is Love Sport.